Hello, hello. Welcome to Season 4 of the Chicago Techies Podcast, the show that highlights the voices of Chicago innovators and their journeys. This season, we're shining a spotlight on founders, from bootstrap beginnings to bold visions. We're diving into what it really takes to build right here in Chicago. I'm your host, Cecilia Benitez. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, Omar, thanks for joining me on this week's episode of the Chicago Techies Podcast. It's good to see you. It's been a minute, but I'm happy to catch up. So great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cecilia. I'm excited to be here with you.
Let's get to it. I normally ask everybody to share, obviously, their name, their pronouns, where you're from, and your current role.
Yeah, so my full name is Omar Hernandez. My pronouns are he, him, and his. And where I'm from, I'm currently based in Pilsen in Chicago's South Side. Where I'm originally from, I'm from McAllen, Texas. I was born there, but I actually grew up in Chicago. So I moved when I was like 10 from Texas to Chicago. So I've been living in Chicago for like, I want to say the last 20 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. What was it like growing up in Texas?
It was very hot. But I mean, I was fortunate to be in a up-and-coming area where there was a lot of investment in like education. I was fortunate enough to like have like brand new computers at my school, and I learned very early on like how to use a Macintosh computer. Like I think I was like 4 or 5 years old when I first started playing around with one.
Well, I'm excited to get to learn a little bit more about your company. I know you and I have touched base a few years ago when you were kind of like, I think you had just started it or you were a couple of years in. But I want to tell the audience about, you know, one bit. So why don't you tell us about what you are building and what you do?
Yeah, so OneBit is an AI financial management app for small businesses. We help small businesses with managing their cash flow. So we're a simple-to-use AI tool that helps you as a business owner understand where your money's coming from and where your costs are going.
Yeah, awesome. So what was there a moment when you realized that, you know, small business owners needed this? So I'm curious, what inspired you to start your company?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that the idea for OneBit came during 2020, like during the COVID lockdown. At the time, a lot of small businesses, especially here in Pilsen, were struggling. Foot traffic was down. A lot of business owners were struggling with sales. My team members and I, like, we were going to Illinois Tech, and we went out trying to look for a way to help some of these businesses. And we started interviewing a lot of small business owners and trying to find out like what their pain points were. During that time, we saw the need for a financial solution that could help make things easier for them to understand how their business was doing overall and like where they could optimize and improve their sales as well as reduce some of those costs to help their businesses stay afloat. So we started working with one of the local businesses here in Chicago named El Campeón. So they're one of the bigger like food and beverage companies. They do events all over the city. And we were working with them very closely, and we actually helped design and implement the first version of OneBit with his help. So with our tool, he was able to uncover things like where was he spending the most in his business and what were some things that he could do as a business owner to reduce some of those costs and keep his business operating. And his business is actually doing pretty well now. So that was one of the things that really like hit home for us was like, all right, like if we can do this for him, and we can help his business succeed, we can do this definitely for other businesses.
Yeah. So on that note, like what kind of businesses, you know, do you think are the most fit for OneBit?
Yeah. So I would say businesses that sell both online and offline. So think like retailers, e-commerce businesses, small merchants, barbershops, food and beverage businesses, but any type of business that really has a high volume of transactions and that sells both online and offline.
Okay. So basically any small business. Almost. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So the last time we spoke back in 2022, because I was doing my VC fellowship, you know, you were bootstrapping and you were deliberately, I would say, avoiding kind of VC funding. You know, I'm curious if you're still on that path.
Yeah. So like we've been intentional in terms of bootstrapping from day one. We really want to make sure that we grow the business based on user feedback and not necessarily trying to build for investors. So that's really been our focus. We're not opposed to the idea. We just really want to kind of make sure that we're bringing in the right people. So people that are aligned with our mission and the values of our company.
I love that. It's definitely a small business focus, and like being very intentional about that is, you know, it's important. I'm curious if you're thinking around fundraising overall has on the product, on your product, what you're building has grown, or are you like close or open to the idea?
I mean, I would say I'm open to it, but I'm still cautious. You know, like as we're growing, we want to make sure that we're bringing on the right people and looking at like the right strategic partnerships to help build us out. In terms of funding, like we're not completely opposed to it, but we would just want to make sure that it's the right fit at the right time.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. I love that, that you are very intentional about how you want to grow. And, you know, you're putting essentially like your customer discovery and customer feedback, like at the forefront of anything. You're being very cautious about what you're building and who you're building it for, and not just for the investment, you know, opportunity. So I appreciate that. On that note, have you had to make any like hard trade-offs because of your funding philosophy?
I mean, there has been some trade-offs, like, right, like, it definitely has impacted, like, our ability to scale and grow. Like, there has been some trade-offs in terms of, like, what we want to prioritize for features and just things that we want to work on. Like, we don't have a massive budget where we can hire, like, the most advanced AI engineers. Like, we have to build out with a small team. We have to really focus on, like, what the customers want and prioritize that. So I would say that's really been the trade-off, is that we want to just kind of focus more on features that are actually going to drive value versus, you know, like trying to build everything that we want to do. Because we have a long list of like product ideas that we wanted to build out, but we really had to be intentional about where we allocated our time and resources.
Yeah. And to dig a little deeper on the product, I'm curious if, I mean, there's definitely a lot of platforms out there like QuickBooks, you know, and other spreadsheets that that do similar work. But I'm curious, like, how does OneBit differ? What's your favorite thing about the product that you think is like very unique?
Yeah, definitely. So I think QuickBooks is great. It's a great tool, but I think it's really more geared towards accountants. And it can be really overwhelming for the average small business owner who may or may not have a background in finance or accounting. So like the thing with our application is that we eliminate all the jargon from it. Like there's no financial jargon in it. We make it easy for you to understand. And really the like another like great thing about our application is that it's mobile first, and it connects to both online and offline channels, which is what small business owners today are using. So we really wanted to be intentional about that and build something that's focused on our users and speaks the language that small business owners speak, and not necessarily with financial jargon.
Yeah. And I mean, given that you've been very intentional with, you know, your user feedback and what customers are telling you they want, I'm curious if there is anything that your users have shaped over time, like any features that exist today purely because of your user feedback.
Yeah, definitely. So there's actually a couple features that we've added based on user feedback. We added the functionality to be able to upload receipts and invoices to their transactions. So automatically doing that from their phone and then matching those receipts and those invoices to each one of their transactions using AI. We added another forecasting feature, which allows them to kind of understand the trends in the future. So as a small business owner, like planning for inventory costs is a big thing. So like knowing like what you've sold historically helps you as a small business owner understand, all right, if I sold X amount of units, then I can expect to sell the same amount of units in the same time period. So it kind of gives them a good way to understand and gauge like what their demand is going to be in the future.
Yeah, that's great. I love the power of cell phones, and being able to simplify things is even better when you have a product that you use, that you can easily use it with your phone. I want to talk a little bit about your founder journey. So, you know, building in Chicago, and just, but let's start first with how you even got started. Like, when you knew you wanted to create this business, was it because of a class? I mean, you said it was because obviously during the pandemic, but I'm curious if it was the pandemic that influenced you, or was it something else? What was that thought process when you first got started?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because like I've actually like ran a business and operated a business before. So this is actually like my second business. It really wasn't in like the tech space. It was more on like the event management space. But I've always had that mindset of being entrepreneurial and starting my own thing. Like after I you know, stopped doing that business, I went back to school to pursue my master's degree, you know, at Illinois Tech, and studying technology. It helped open up like doors and opportunities for me. And it really helped me see everything from more of like a problem solution type of standpoint. So when I identified this problem, I was like, oh, I could build a solution for small business owners that can help them immediately and have impact for them. So I would say that was the point when I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to take the risk, because like building something, there's always risk. But I felt strongly about what I was doing. I felt it could help a ton of people, and I decided to move forward.
That's great. No, I love that. And being here in Chicago, you know, there's a lot of resources out there. There's like, you know, accelerators, incubators, there's a bunch of different things you can leverage. So have you used any of those resources and leveraged any of the community groups out there to continue to build here?
Yeah, definitely. So we've been a part of 1871's FinTech Accelerator program. They've been a huge help connecting us with mentors and other industry professionals in the financial FinTech space. Google for Startups is another great program that we've been fortunate to be a part of. And yeah, I would say, I mean, like Chicago does definitely have a lot of helpful resources for anyone that's looking to start a business. And I think that's the great thing about building in Chicago, is that there's just so much people here that are willing to help and help, you know, help entrepreneurs and business owners launch.
Yeah. What would you say is the most helpful, like when it comes to programming? Is it that introductions to people and mentors, or what do you think is the most valuable for you for your journey specifically?
I would say it's a combination of the mentors and then as well as some of the resources. Like with 1871, like we worked out of their space for a long time. So we were able to go in there as a team and kind of ideate and like whiteboard and brainstorm and come up with ideas, which, you know, we really can't do that like remotely, you know. So like having that space to be able to like, you know, throw ideas out there and just like being able to meet with our team members one-on-one was really like a huge help for us.
Yeah. Well, as a former 1871 staff member, that makes my heart happy, even if I was there for only a brief time.
we saw each other a couple of times there.
Yeah. I was running around probably planning something, but I appreciate that the programs that we, you know, that our team put together were helpful, and that you were able to meet some people. Let's talk a little bit about your own like reflection as a founder. So I'm curious, what's something that you've learned about yourself through this journey? You know, you said you've always been an entrepreneur, but is it something that you discovered, something new about yourself?
I would definitely say resilience is one thing that is really like that I've really discovered. I think, you know, like believing yourself, believing in your vision, and just being willing to put in the work like day in and day out. I think it also helps to have like a supportive team, a supportive family. Like, honestly, like I feel like I wouldn't have been able to do what I did, like what I'm doing now, without the help of my team members. So I'm always thankful for their help, because like, I feel like they're really the ones that like drive the business forward, and I'm kind of just there like leading them and managing and making sure that things are moving along. So I always give support to my team. My family has always been supportive of me as well. I think the one thing that I really learned from this is just like perseverance and grind. It's just being resilient as a founder.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned your team. So I'm curious, how big is your team?
Yeah, right now, so we're 12. So we've actually grown our team to 12
Wow.
people. We have a team of engineers, data scientists, some marketing people that have just come on board. So yeah, we're excited to continue growing and building here.
Yeah, that's great. What do you, I mean, I'm, now that I know there's more people, I want to know more about them. So who's helping you? Like you said, you have a couple of an engineering team, I'm assuming, and then there's probably a salesperson, or what's the structure of your team looking like?
Yeah, definitely. So I have my co-founder Sean. He's been with me from the very beginning. Sean also comes from a small business background, and then our CTO Ron Duran. He's worked with me at a couple other companies before, but then like once I launched OneBit, he was really inspired by the idea and wanted to come on board. And then in terms of our engineers, we have like four on our engineering team and then a couple other people on our marketing and data science team. So that's really the
Yeah.
structure of our team. But yeah,
Yeah.
but I always make sure that like with in terms of our team, like we're diverse. Like no one on the team is, like comes from the same background. Like I always am intentional about who I bring on, and
Yeah.
what I look for when I bring someone on my team is like their work ethic, their passion, and whether or not they're entrepreneurial themselves, right? Because like at a startup, you have to be able to like wear multiple hats, and you can't just say like, "Oh, this is my job only." Like, no, you have to be willing to learn and do other
Yeah.
things. So I always try to look for those qualities when I bring people onto my team.
Yeah, I like that. It's definitely a way, it's definitely challenging to create the right culture, but it sounds like you're being very intentional and kind of like diversifying, skill sets and what everybody can learn from and what they can contribute to. What kind of people would thrive like working alongside you in OneBit? What are you looking for when you're looking for someone to join your staff?
I would definitely say curious. So you got to be willing to learn new things. Like at a startup, you're not going to know everything, right? Like you might have an idea of something, but that's why, like, I would say someone that's curious and that's very collaborative. Like we all work independently, but at the same time, like we all like bounce ideas off each other. So I would say
Yeah.
curious, collaborative, and very like entrepreneurial. Like if you've ever like ran or operated or thought about starting your own business, like this is a great opportunity for you to learn like how it's done from the ground up. So like people
Yeah.
that want to build things from scratch are the type of people that I want to bring on board.
That's great. Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about your just challenges and pivots and mistakes in general. So I'm curious if there's been any failed idea that you learned from as you were building that like stands out to you as a key moment that shaped your journey.
Yeah, I mean, I said originally when we were first like starting this business, like we originally thought that we were gonna be like the all-in-one
Yeah.
platform for back-end solution for small businesses. So we had a ton of ideas of like we're gonna add payment integrations, like we're gonna be our own like payment system processor. We're gonna do marketing and sales. We're gonna have an email functionality where you can send emails and stuff. And we had to scrap a lot of those ideas because we're just like, we don't have the time, money, and resources to build out all these things. But we really want to try to focus in on the things that are going to solve the problems for our users, for our customers, as opposed to trying to build everything for them.
Yeah. And I'm curious, in any of those scenarios where where things got tough and you had to make some type of change, was there ever a point that you wanted to give up or just consider quitting?
I mean, I guess like there's always going to be challenges, right? It all depends on your mindset and how you approach things. And I'm like I said like earlier, like in terms of perseverance, like like I didn't come from like a rich family. Like I grew up in a poor neighborhood in Chicago. Like I saw my mom, a single mother, like struggle every single day, and like she just made things happen. And I feel like I still have that same mindset, and that I take a lot from her is that like, hey, when shit goes bad, like you got to make things happen.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love the inspiration from family and resilience from that. I really like that. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. I meant to ask this earlier, but for your customers, like have you had a story or a customer whose business changed drastically? I know you mentioned a little bit about the food and beverage guy, but was there any other businesses that turned around or that, something happened because they used your platform?
Yeah, definitely. So, like besides Andy at El Campeón, like We had another coffee shop that worked with us. They were able to identify like inventory costs that were increasing during like the pandemic because like with inflation, there's been an increase in like materials and other resources that small business owners are using to like create their products and services. So using our application, I'm just gonna say her name. Michelle was able to identify like where she was spending more, and I like cut back and be intentional about where she was purchasing and sourcing her materials from in order to improve her profit margins overall.
That's a win, a huge win.
Definitely.
And then are you, I know every startup right now is looking into AI, right? And AI is like hot in town and everybody's using it. So I'm curious if your startup has kind of started looking into a way of implementing AI into your business, or how do you approach new trends that come up like that and kind of innovate as you go, as you build?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, like from day one when we first launched this business, like we've always been a data company, right? So we've always had AI as our focus within the product. So we were actually building an AI before it actually became like popular. So like a lot of our back end like models and you know that we use are all AI. We built a lot of our own custom models early on, and we want to continue being an AI only company. But in terms of innovation, like we are looking at other areas. So blockchain is really hot right now, like crypto and being able to process payments using crypto technology. So we're really looking into that right now and seeing if there's any opportunities with that. We feel like right now is the time for that, and we're really exploring opportunities for it.
Yeah, that's great. And then I like that your main customer sounds like it's a small business owner, right? Like, so you're helping the backbone of America, really. So I'm curious, what do you think most people misunderstand about running a small business, and how do you support them?
Yeah, I would say definitely, in terms of what I've seen with many small business owners is that they, most of them, and I'm not going to say all of them, like they pay more attention to their sales, right? Like, 'cause they have to sell to be a business. But they don't always necessarily keep track of all of their costs that are going into their business. So that's one thing that I would notice. And then another thing is that like, and I stress this in the, like to all, like anyone that wants to start a business or anything, like, pay very close attention to all of your costs because your costs are always going to exceed, and they're always going to grow rapidly. So you want to make sure that you're keeping an eye on that, and you want to make sure that you're profitable. Like there's so there the reason why businesses are always searching profit is because profit is hard to come by, right? And like, yeah, I mean, like you can't grow your business profitably unless you control your costs and you continue to increase your sales. So definitely would recommend like anyone that's interested or starting a business to separate their cost out from their personal expenses to their business expenses.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then as far as like your philosophy in supporting small business owners, like why is small business ownership so important to the economy and for you, for you personally wanting to support these folks?
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, I like you said, I small businesses are the backbone of our economy. They provide job opportunities for like hundreds of thousands of people throughout the United States. And I think small business ownership in general is the key to building wealth. And I feel strongly about helping minority and you know, specifically Latino-owned businesses continue to thrive and grow. Latinos are like the fastest growing demographic in the United States. And you know, we want to see more successful Latino business owners, especially in the tech space, right? Where like we're underrepresented. Like I think less than 1% of like CEOs of technology companies are Latinos. So we got a lot of work to do. So I really want to help and support business owners any way that I can.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love the philosophy. I know I'm like adding a couple of more questions here to rapid fire for you. And so thank you so much for being gracious, because I'm just now generally curious about the work that you do. So I'm gonna ask you a little bit about partnerships and just like in general. Like, do you leverage any partnerships or banks or any fintech tools or marketplaces that help you develop your business and grow as well?
Yeah, so right now we're looking into strategic partnerships with other point of sale system providers, so like Square, Shopify, We're also looking at partnerships with financial institutions like banks and credit unions, and then other lending partners for small businesses because, as small businesses are growing and looking for capital, they're going to look for opportunities to grow their business, and we want to be able to connect them with the right people.
Yeah. So what resources are you using to kind of leverage and highlight your own brand? Like, how are you getting out the word out about 1Bit?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So right now we're doing a lot of content creation. We're focusing on video, like running some TikTok ads.
Okay.
We're gonna do some more like blogs and articles. We do a lot of events as well. So we've been partnering with a lot of local chamber of commerce organizations and doing events and webinars with them as well, and just really trying to educate small business owners on the importance of financial management and why they need to start using tools like 1Bit to help them
Yeah.
with growing and expanding their businesses.
Yeah. No, that's great. And then as far as your future, where do you see 1Bit going? Do you want to add any new futures, any more partnerships? Like, what's for you in the horizon?
Yeah, so I mean, we definitely want 1Bit to be the go-to financial solution for small businesses, not just in the US, but like in Latin America as well. So we're actually looking at opportunities to expand our product and services out in Latin America, particularly in Mexico. So we actually just got recently accepted into an incubator program, or accelerator program out in Monterrey. So we're looking at that as our next potential market where we could offer our product to small businesses in Latin America.
Is that how you would say, like, you would expand into a new market, like by doing like a program that is local to that country, or how do you think about expansion as you grow?
Yeah, so definitely we want to try to use that as like leverage that as kind of like our way of getting our foot in the door, but definitely like doing more like I would say conferences and showcasing our product and just having the opportunity to be in front of more small business owners is going to really help us with building out those partnerships. And then looking at ways that we can connect with other banks or financial institutions out there would be a huge
Yeah.
win for us.
Yeah, I mean, as you get more traction and as you expand, I think you're going to start getting more you're going to get noticed, right? And people are going to start wondering, like, how can they help you grow and scale farther and faster? So, that's definitely an exciting point, right, to be in, like when you expand to new markets and try to penetrate a new economy. So, that's exciting.
Definitely. I mean, one thing that we've noticed based on our own market research is that like QuickBooks really doesn't have a lot of market share, especially in Mexico. So, I mean, it's there's a good opportunity there to bring a financial solution like ours into a market where like the incumbents haven't really been able to penetrate in the past.
I wonder how different it is in Mexico. Would you continue to bootstrap product there, or would you kind of establish your own financial standing there? I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I'm just curious how you start over in a new country that may have different regulations.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a great point. Like, that's the reason why we want to kind of make sure that like we're aligned with like the right mentors and industry experts that can help us navigate that. Like that, we
Yeah.
had to do the same thing here, and fortunately we were able to get help and support from programs like 1871 that had
Yeah.
those industry connections that could help us with like making sure that our product was compliant and that it like met all the regulations. So that's the same approach that we're planning to do in Latin America. And we're definitely open to customizing and tailoring our product and solution for whatever market that we're looking to serve.
Yeah. No, I like that. I appreciate that. I'm also very curious about what it's like, entering new markets, and that's not something that I've come across yet too much, so I don't really know, have much experience there, but I'm definitely curious. So now let's kind of circle back to your founder story. Like, what would you say to someone that's starting a new business and maybe bootstrapped, like yourself, that is starting now but doesn't know where to start? Like, what would you say to them?
I would say definitely plan things out. Like I know like this might be like cliche, but like definitely write out a business plan. Like understand like from a high level what it is that you want to do. Understand your market, do enough research and preparation to really understand your market, understand what problem you're solving, and how your solution is gonna like solve that problem. And then any other advice, I would say just be prepared. Like entrepreneurship is a grind, and it's a journey, but yeah, just be prepared for the long haul. Like if you're the type of person that gives up easily, like this isn't the right job for you or the right role for you, right? You want to make sure that you're prepared for the long haul. Yeah.
That makes sense. Definitely. I mean, be prepared is for everything and anything that you do. Now, you mentioned mentorship, that was critical for you. So I'm curious if you have any stories about a piece of advice and, support, mentorship that you received that was super helpful for you, if you have any stories to share.
I mean, well, Matt Doubleday, he's our currently on our board of directors, but he's been our longtime mentor since we first started the company. Matt, I was connected with him through Illinois Tech while I was like attending their program. But like Matt's been great. Like Matt has a ton of connections in the banking industry. He's a former CMO of Wintrust Financial, so he's a good contact to have on our board and to help us out. And he really understands like the financial industry and like what it is and like how to navigate and all that. So having him in our corner has really been helpful for us.
Yeah, I guess having also the right people can help can go a long way, right? Like with the right expertise and the right background that is fitting for you, that expertise and being intentional about finding the right support is key there for sure. For anyone that wants to connect with you, how can people connect? How can they find you? How can they learn more about OneBit?
Yeah, so you can find us on LinkedIn or you can visit our website at www.onebitapp.com. We're also active on Instagram and Facebook, so like shoot us a like or a follow and we're happy to help support. We provide a lot of tips and resources for small business owners, so if you're looking to start a business, you can find some helpful resources on our page and yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'll put all that on the show notes as well so people can reach out. Well, best of luck with the app. Best of luck with the business. I appreciate you taking some time to come chat with me. Best of luck. I'm rooting for you and I always will be. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Chicago Techies Podcast. If you enjoy listening, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review on iTunes. Let's continue the conversation on social media. We are at Chicago Techies on all social media platforms. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.